Hi, friends. I read a statistic recently that said that people who start a new podcast only go back about the past 20 or so episodes. So with that in mind, and wanting to continue to elevate the voices of people who I've had in the show in the past, I really wanted to highlight a woman who I deeply admire and learn so much from, and that is Pia Schiavo Campo. And this episode was the 13th episode of the Plus Mommy podcast back in 2018. And Pia's going to join us now to share something that's on her heart, and then I'll re-air her episode. Just a quick note that the audio quality is not up to the same level we have it today. It's just a little echoey, but the conversation is so incredibly important and it has always stayed with me. So I wanted to re-air it. It covers race, adoption, and body love. Let's hear from Pia.
I want to just lift up, because of the time that we're in, that this is summoning up for us a call to action. And now is the time to be uncomfortable. Now is the time to do very important work. And there's a beautiful quote that I want to share with you by Ijeoma Olu, who is brilliant, and you should follow her on social media. She recently wrote, "The beauty of anti-racism is that you don't have to pretend to be free of racism to be an anti-racist. Anti-racism is the commitment to fight racism wherever you find it, including yourself, and it's the only way forward." That resonates with me so deeply, and it's incredibly important that we work together as women to dismantle racism so that our children, no matter what color they are, can live in a world where they are valued and where they can thrive. And that is what I want for my Black son. That is what I want for all children. I hope you'll take this as an opportunity to look inward, to listen loudly, and to take action. And remember, you don't have to do it perfectly. You will mess up. The question is whether or not you're willing to get back up and try again.
Before we get started, I wanted to let you know that some F-bombs, they are dropped in this episode. Many of our episodes are clean. This one is not. But it is just a really powerful conversation about race, motherhood, adoption, and body image. So I hope you will enjoy. I'm honored to have my guest Pia from Chronicles of a Mixed Fat Chick. Here we go. Hi, friends, and welcome to the Plus Mommy podcast. I'm your host, Jen McClellan, and here we explore plus-size pregnancy, motherhood, and body love. From bumps to bellies, we talk about it all. Now, let's get started. Hi, friends. I am beyond honored to welcome Pia from Chronicles of a Mixed Fat Chick to the podcast. Pia and I met a few years ago now at the first and unfortunately last Body Love Conference in 2014. And I've been so blessed just to continue to have her in my life. So Pia, please introduce yourself to us.
Hi, Jen. Thanks for having me on the show. So my name is Pia Schiavo Campo, and I've been authoring my blog, Chronicles of a Mixed Fat Chick, for about, I guess, like 8 or 9 years, something like that. I know when I think about it too, I'm like, really? Has it been that long? And so for the past, 8 or 9 years, I've been writing about everything from fat acceptance and size acceptance and body positivity and anti-dieting. And talking about how all of that kind of intersects with race, and how does that intersect with gender and all of the other things that we, as moms and as women, are facing out in the world. So, yeah.
Can you talk a little bit about how it intersects with race as a white woman? I don't know a lot, but I'm always wanting to learn more and do better and be a better ally to all. And I would just appreciate anything that you wanted to share.
First of all, I really appreciate you saying that. I think it takes a lot of courage and practice to say, hey, I don't know, and I'm willing to be an ally. I think that in itself is such a powerful message. So thank you. So my blog is called Chronicles of a Mixed Fat Chick. So the mixed part is I'm half Black and half Italian. And so, my experience as a mixed person has kind of changed over the years. I think early on, my experience as a kid and as a young adult was this feeling of not quite sure where I belonged. And as I've gotten older, I've become much more comfortable with myself. I think that in this very tumultuous time that we're in, it's super important to listen. If you are not part of an oppressed group, or, you know, something that's happening in the media doesn't necessarily affect you personally, it doesn't mean that you can't be an ally. I think right now, Black lives and Brown lives are really, they're in danger. And I think it's so important to lift those issues up from whatever perspective your work is. You know, your perspective is from, you know, plus size moms. Like, how can those folks sort of show up? And how can we use motherhood as a way to connect with one another, right? So regardless of what we look like, regardless of our race or our size or age, we have the connection of motherhood. And it's my deep belief that women, and I think mothers too, are really stepping up now into that space of changing the world. So how do we acknowledge each other's differences? How do we accept each other's very different experiences? You know, my experience as a woman of color is different, right? So like, I might experience racism or all kinds of other microaggressions that perhaps you might not face, right? But as women, we share a lot of oppression, right? And so I think it's important to just have the conversation. I think it's important to stay curious. I think it's important to learn when it's not your time to speak, that if you are in a space where you are around a lot of other people of color who are talking, it's the time to like sit back and listen and then say, thank you for teaching. What can I do? So I hope that kind of, that's a little bit general, but I think that's what I would recommend. And I think you do that beautifully.
Well, thank you. And thank you for sharing that. I've been really working on just sitting back and listening, exactly what you said, and working on not taking up space. Two things that are really not that difficult to do. I've heard people say, you know, sit within your discomfort, you know, and acknowledge it. We live in a culture of racism and other ugly things, and it has all seeped into all of us. And so we all have a level within ourselves that we can know better and do better. Mm-hmm. Are there any books that you would recommend? Especially, I want to, for moms, you know, I have a white son. So any books for kids too, where we can just start, you know, doing a little bit of education and sitting
totally
in comfort and allowing other people's voices to educate us.
Absolutely. So there's one book in particular that comes to mind that I was gifted shortly after my son came into our lives, called A is for Activist. And it is a terrific book that talks about activism and is a great way to introduce your kids to it. And I think the other really great thing is, like, you know, the books that you're reading with your kids, they should be diverse. You know, yes, you want to have books that represent your child so they can see themselves. But it's also important, I think, to incorporate different viewpoints. And we have so many options these days. So make sure that your kids' library is really diverse, that they understand that there are different stories. They understand that not all Black daddies are in prison. Like, they understand that immigrants are human beings, right? And so I think that is so, so essential. And I want to raise my Black son to be a feminist. I want him to really, really understand that. So yeah, that's what I would say.
I love that. And not all white baby dolls and, you know, all
absolutely
is so important.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing all of that. I really, really appreciate it. It means a great deal to me. I think now in today's society, it is time for us to raise the voices of others.
Absolutely.
You write on your website that your agenda includes extinguishing conventional notions of beauty and empowering women to take up as much space as they please. When it comes to your work around body positivity, can you elaborate on that?
Absolutely. I think as women, we've definitely been taught to not take up space. And when I think about that, I think about that in a very literal way. And also just like in political spaces and in workspaces. And oh gosh, what is her name? Naomi, her name is escaping my brain. But the beauty myth, she wrote a book called The Beauty Myth and talked about how like dieting is such a potent political sedative for women. And I couldn't agree more, right? Like the more that the patriarchy and our society makes women focus on their weight and how they look, means that they can't possibly have time to be thinking about anything else. And I think women are really fed up with that, and that we are in a space now where we're ready and willing to take up that space politically and also very physically. You know, I can't tell you how many times I've observed or been the woman who was on a train or a plane or in a space where I felt like I literally had to make my body smaller to accommodate a person, a male who was sitting next to me and suffering in silence and being uncomfortable. And I just think I'm done with that. And so many of the women that I know are also done with that. Our voices are so fucking important. They are. They are extremely, extremely important. And I mean, I believe across the world, like, you know, patriarchy is something that spans the entire, you know, universe. And I think that having more women who are in positions of power is going to shift things dramatically for our world. So take up that damn space, you know, run for office, you know, say what's on your mind and stop apologizing. I had to really tell myself, Pia, every time you apologize, what you're doing is you're telling other people that what you're saying is not important or valid. And I think that's another piece about taking up space. Stop apologizing. Say what you mean what you say.
Absolutely. Yeah. What advice would you have for someone who kind of wants to tiptoe into taking up space? I know just even flying can be terrifying for someone, mm-hmm. like you said, feeling like you have to squeeze your body in. What any wisdom there to encourage people just to be comfortable within their own skin there?
You know, I think that's really challenging. I'm thinking about a specific incident that I was on a plane, and there was a woman across the aisle from me who was, she was fat. She was a really big woman, and it was clear she was squeezed into her seat. She was next to two people, and I felt such incredible compassion for her because I thought, like, you know, I don't need a seatbelt extender at the moment, but I can say that when I'm sitting on a plane, I'm hoping to God that people next to me are thin, right? Because I can feel my thighs spreading out. And again, it's that taking up space. And so I think part of it is like having to advocate for yourself. And, yes. you know, and sometimes it's about, you know, getting on the flight early. Like, it sucks that we have to take all these actions, right? Getting on the flight early, asking for the seatbelt extender before someone is sitting next to you. Because I think a lot of times what happens is, like, it's the shame of having to ask for things that you need, right? And I think the other thing is, like, if you see somebody else in that space, show compassion, have a conversation, you know, just say, girl, these seats are small as fuck, aren't they? You know, have a good chuckle and, like, and let them know, I see you. And let me know if I can be of any support. Say that. I mean, I think that having somebody see you and acknowledge you, acknowledge your struggle and saying, I'm here for you as a woman of size, you know, that's powerful shit right there, I think.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Roxane Gay was speaking at a theater recently, very old theater. So I knew that the seats were not going to be accommodating for me. And I really wanted to see Roxane. I mean, she's just an author who I so admire. And I didn't want to allow knowing that I wouldn't fit, hold me back. So I contacted the theater directly and asked what my options were and if they could provide a seat for me that would work. And they did. And it felt so good to be there and advocate for myself. So I think that's great wisdom to be that self-advocate, but then also to identify other people in your realm who are struggling and to say, hey, I get it. You're not alone. And that kind of easily crosses into motherhood, right? Like, you know, especially at Target, I just look over and just smile and nod to the mom who has like her three kids with her and I have left my one at home with my partner, you know, and you just entered motherhood not that long ago as an adopted mother. And I would love it if you would like to share your story with us.
I would love to. Yeah. You know, my husband and I have a very unique story. So we had actually been trying to conceive for quite a few years unsuccessfully, and it just wasn't happening for us. And so we have looked into actually doing foster to adopt and had gone to meetings to find out more about whether or not that was an option. We decided against it because as being two deeply sensitive people, our biggest concern was, you know, let's say that we decide to foster someone. I know myself and I know that I would fall in love with that kid immediately. And the idea of having them taken away would have been too much to bear. And that may be really selfish. And I get that, but I don't think everybody is cut out to be a foster parent. I think a lot of people are, and that's wonderful. And if you are out there and you're thinking about it, you know, do your research, because there are plenty of kids who need lots of love. Particular Black and Brown children are the last ones who get adopted. So we had decided, well, maybe we'll go the adoption route. And I'm adopted and always knew I was adopted. And I think I always thought, you know, I'll adopt a kid one day. Yeah. You know, we'll have a couple and then I'll adopt. I never thought like, oh, well, when we're ready to have a baby, we'll just, you know, we'll do the deed and that'll be fine. And it was a really long, exhausting hurtful journey. So about, let's see, I guess it would have been maybe like March 2017, we discovered that my husband's cousin was pregnant and that she was going to give the baby up for adoption. And she had no idea that we were thinking about adoption at this point. And by the way, adoption, at least here in California, it was extremely expensive. So we started to feel really like this is not a possibility for us. Like we can't afford all of that. So both of us had sort of given up, and I was trying to be in a space of like of healing and saying, well, I have children in my life. I have nieces and nephews and, you know, kids of friends. Maybe that can be enough for me. So in March of last year, we discovered that she was pregnant and we had the possibility of potentially adopting this baby. But what happened was that she had decided that she wanted to have more involvement and to be close to the baby where she lives. I won't say where she lives. And so sort of, you know, our chances were shot, and it was very devastating to feel like, oh my gosh, we're about to have a baby, and then to find out that's not going to happen. Anyway, a couple of months later, we get a phone call from her saying things have fallen through with the potential adoptive family for lots of reasons that I won't get into right now. And she said, you know, I'm due in 3 weeks. Do you want this baby? Wow. And my husband and I are looking at each other like, is this a joke? Like, I couldn't breathe. I was like, this is nuts. And of course, we were like, yes, 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 we want this baby. And so we had 3 weeks to get fingerprints, to do all the things you've got to do with your social worker, background checks, and prepare our not baby-friendly house for a baby.
Prepare your whole lives for a baby.
Prepare our whole lives for a baby. And it was magic. So last year on May 7th, we flew to the city where he was born, and I was in the room, in the delivery room, and I caught my son as he came out of the womb, and it was pure magic.
Totally tearing up right now for you. I didn't know that. That's so beautiful.
It was incredible. And what's even more beautiful, I think, is the irony that like our son is 25% my husband, and that my son has this like huge extended family. Like we have a great relationship with his cousin, you know, my son's birth mom. And it has been beyond, it was serendipitous. It was timing. It was the universe, God, goddess, whatever. All I know is that my son, Paolo, was meant to be mine. I just know that. I just know. Yeah.
So what was the transition like? Here you literally catch your child and now you're a mother, and not a lot of time to prepare for that emotionally.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the emotional part was probably the biggest part. You know, we didn't have months and months or even years to kind of mentally prepare for that. My husband's a great partner and he's a great dad, you know, and so I think together we were just kind of like, here we are, you know, let's hold on tight for this adventure. And there was just a huge learning curve. I mean, I think there is, even if you know you're about to have a baby, there's a huge learning curve.
Yeah.
No more sleeping in, like, you know, just the sort of carefree life that we once had was completely changed. And I think for me, the timing was good and also challenging. I had recently left a job and had started doing consulting. I really had been wanting to work for myself to have a flexible schedule. And so the timing of having the baby couldn't have been better. But what happened was the first few months, you know, I was caring for him essentially full time and working from home. And that was really tough.
Yeah, it's next to impossible to do both with a new baby.
Oh my gosh. I mean, I don't know what I was thinking. It was really hard. And we eventually did get someone to care for him a few days a week. And we loved her. But it was just kind of like this little thing who relied on you for everything. There was no independence. I was like, oh, what do I do? I don't know what to do, you know, and I don't know what you need. You can't talk yet. And so it was like a mixture of just falling in love every day and also just like fear in the pit of my stomach. Am I going to accidentally drop this baby? Is he getting enough to eat? You know, it was like this weird space of anxiety and also just complete and utter adoration. It was really challenging. Really, yeah. Really was. Yeah.
The universal feelings that all mothers and parents feel of this blissful exhaustion and tear and love all at the same time. But somehow we make it through those first few months somehow.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
What advice do you have for our listeners who are considering adoption?
Yeah. So it is such an emotional experience. And my, you know, the situation that my husband and I were in is not typical.
Yeah.
You know, you can often wait years for a baby. So I don't think that I could speak to that part. But in terms of bringing a baby into your life, it doesn't matter whether that baby came out of your womb or not. Like, yeah, our son grew in our hearts. So that's first and foremost, you know. And I think if you have family members who are saying, like, why would you adopt? It's not really your baby. That's bullshit. I call bullshit on that. He was ours before he was even born. And so I think part of it is, and choosing to be honest, I know that there are some people who choose not to tell their children they're adopted. I always knew that I was, my brother did too. I think it's really important to know, for my son to know that he was chosen and for him to know that his birth mother wanted the best possible home for him and that we were that. That's, you know, I think it's a beautiful thing. I think adoption is incredible. Like, I can't imagine what my life would have been like had I not been adopted by my parents. And I think connect with other people, you know, I mean, I have to say, I haven't been in any kind of support groups around that. I've had wonderful friends who have kids who have been really supportive to me. But I imagine that there are probably all kinds of resources online, you know, if you are going through an adoption process. And I think trying to trust in divine timing, which is a very, very difficult thing to do when you are ready to have that baby, is trying to be patient with yourself, patient with the process, and to, I think, inject as much love into the process as possible. We faced a few challenges with our son's birth father who made our process very challenging in a lot of ways and uneasy. So I think there's just trying to trust that process, but also being super vigilant, you know, if that's something that you're facing in your adoption process. And love on your kid, love on your partner. If you are adopting with a partner, ask for help for support from friends and family, because it's an emotional process. And we honestly didn't tell a lot of people because we didn't know if it was going to happen. We kept thinking the rug's going to be pulled out from under us. But there's a part of me that wishes we had and said, hey, this is what we're going through. We could really use your support right now.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Thank you for sharing all that. So as someone who's an outward fat activist, has there been any crossover with being a plus size mom? Has that felt different? Like, has there been some crossover behind just not just motherhood and all that comes with that, but a fat mom?
So I think it's interesting because ironically, my son and I look very similar and people have no idea that he's adopted. They're like, oh, he looks just like you. And sometimes I say, oh, that's funny, he's adopted. And other times I just go, thanks. I think that there has been maybe one incident where somebody was like, had maybe made a comment about like not having lost baby weight. And I'm thinking to myself, like, I'm just fat, you know, I never even got pregnant. I'm just a fat lady. But I haven't experienced any kind of pushback. And I'm not sure if I even thought about like, what would it be like to be a fat mom, you know? And I think maybe part of my brain was going, okay, here I am, this fat woman. Are people who don't know my son is adopted gonna try to say, hey, you know, do you want to, you know, get some of that baby weight off? And there was like a fear of having people comment on that, but it hasn't, it really, really hasn't happened. You know, I think being a plus size mom is maybe just teaching my son that all bodies are good bodies, that like, this is the female, you know, this is perhaps what you'll want when you get to an age where you're dating, you know, and that makes me really happy, you know, knowing that like, he's witnessing a large body doing all kinds of activities, a large body that is loved by his dad, you know, and other people. So in that way, I think that's been my experience. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we're moms, right? I mean, it doesn't matter the size or shape of our bodies, but it's nice to have that conversation that you maybe wouldn't have with a smaller person and ask like, have you faced any obstacles? And for many of us, the answer is no, but for some of us, the answer is yes. I know I did a post recently on Plus Mommy's Facebook page asking people their experiences. And it was a lot of, you know, every time I take my kid to play at McDonald's, I get, you know, ugly looks and ugly stares.
That's
hard. So even just you sharing that baby weight piece, I think as an adoptive mom is really powerful for others to hear. But just in general, I think we all can identify with that kind of like, first of all, why are you commenting on my body?
Absolutely.
None of your business. And second of all, like, who says these things out loud and thinks it's okay? I still like wonder that a lot. So thank you.
Unfortunately, a lot of people feel really, really emboldened to, you know, to police our bodies. And that's frustrating as hell. you know, and I feel compassion for women who are experiencing that, you know, and I think, you know, I have to say, like, even though I'm a fat woman, I feel like what Velvet D'Amour calls like socially acceptable fat, meaning that like, if I'm wearing certain clothes, people, even now, they're like, you're not fat. I'm like, you don't understand. First of all, I don't have a problem with it. Yeah. And second of all, like, you think I'm insulting myself, right? Like, I'm not. I'm just stating a fact. And I think that there's also this piece that kind of ties to health at every size, right? Mm-hmm. That like, you know, people might be thinking, oh, gosh, she's so fat. How can she keep up with her baby? I'm tired because I'm a 42-year-old woman, not because I'm fat. You know, like there are other things coming into play here, and just not making those assumptions, right? Like, it, you know, if you have washboard abs, whatever, like 6 months after you had a baby, good for you. Like, that's really nice, but I don't have to prove myself to anybody, you know, like that's, again, like you said, it's just none of anybody's business. Absolutely not.
As a mom and as a fat activist, what advice do you have for other moms that do hear those awful comments or get those stares? What would you share with them?
So the first thing that comes to mind, there's this great fat photographer called Substantia Jones, and she's amazing. And she, for a minute, had this great campaign where she would tell people to like take pictures of their offenders and post them online. Now, I don't know if I completely agree with that. But at the same time, like if you're bold enough to come at me or at somebody and police my body, then you need to be okay with me putting you on blast too. And I think this comes back to the idea of taking up space. Don't take that shit. Be like, I'm sorry. Is this any of your GD business right now? I don't believe that it is. You know, I would confront them, you know, and especially if your kid is old enough to understand what's happening, you absolutely need to fight back and you need to let your kids know it is. But it's like, how do you do that with dignity and at the same time take up that space and make sure that you're being heard? It's not okay. You know, hey, sir, I'm sorry. Did I come over to you and, you know, and talk to you about, you know, the excessive pimples you have in your face? No, it's none of my business. It's not important, you know, and I think you do sometimes have to pick whether or not you're going to confront somebody. I think it has a lot to do with whether or not you feel safe in the space that you're in. I think it's important to vent and to talk about those things because otherwise the resentment builds, which I think can really lead to depression. So share it in your networks. If you're active on social media, share that experience so that you can get the support and you can, you know, and other people can go, oh my gosh, I'm sorry that happened. Or, you know, thank you for telling me that. I know I should be more vigilant next time somebody talks to me. I think there's a lot of healing in being vulnerable and in sharing your stories. So
there's a lot of healing in being vulnerable. That's really, really powerful. I completely agree. And I mean, I know that there are a lot of people that are perfectly comfortable with confronting those situations. Mm-hmm. I know that there are a lot that would be, you know, just terrifying. So whether or not that is something you can do going to your community and sharing those things that happen and how it makes you feel, I think it can be a good education standpoint where, yes, you want those support groups. But even I've shared things on Facebook that have happened to me, not only to get support, but to show thin people that exist in other bodies what a person of size experiences quite often from something as simple as I went to the gym to have water aerobics and I love it and felt great about myself. And then I went to get in my car and I couldn't fit because the person next to me had parked so close that I couldn't fit in my car. And then it made me feel horrible about myself. So it's not something someone said, but for a minute I was just like, gosh, I can't even get in my car. And then it was like, okay, wait a minute. Stop those voices in my head. Someone just parked too close. Now let's process this. So I think processing it, and then I shared it on Facebook, and it was so nice to have so many people to share in that and commiserate in what you're experiencing. And then saying some really nice things to yourself and showing yourself kindness and tapping into body positive resources like Chronicles of a Fat Mixed Chick.com, right? Like
right.
Tapping into those resources and knowing that you're not alone in this experience, I think is really, really powerful. Do you have any other words of wisdom from all that you've shared with us during this time? You've shared so much and I'm just so appreciative.
You know, I think the biggest takeaway is to abandon perfection, abandon perfectionism in all areas of your life, you know, definitely around motherhood. You know, I have to say, like, at the beginning, I was trying to do too much. And I think that I had to let go of having the perfect house, you know, like that's just not going to happen. My kid's tearing around. So it's like letting go of that. It's letting go of, you know, people are coming over and the house is not clean. Oh, well, they know I have a kid. You know, I've really learned a lot about letting go and prioritizing what's really important. I think, you know, it's the perfectionism is also about tapping into a community where you feel supported and reminding yourself that you're doing the very best that you can. And it doesn't always feel that way. And, you know, telling yourself that doesn't always work. But I think if that's a mantra, and I am all about having quotes and post-it notes, like I have a post-it on my bathroom mirror that says, I am the shit. Yes. And I'm like, I need to have that. When I see it, I'm like, yep, yep, yep. So when those voices do come in, I'm like, you know what? This is just a life experience. I'm enough. I'm the shit. I don't have to be perfect. Like, what does that even mean? You know? And so like, how do we show up? How do we show our kids that perfectionism is an illusion and show up and go, hey, it's okay to make mistakes. You know, we're all different. We're all doing the best that we can. Cause I think if you can abandon some of that perfectionism around your mothering and in the rest of your life, then you're setting a great example for your children as well.
I love that. And then circling back to the beginning of our conversation, also talking to our kids, not only about different body sizes that are perfectly fine, but different body colors and introducing mm-hmm. those people and books and dolls into our children's lives. So it's just normal that we're all look different. And my goodness, how boring would life be if we all looked the exact same way? But I think, you know, especially me, again, having a white son and only child, like it's really important to me that I am doing what I can to introduce my son to all different types of people and know the best thing that he can be is just respectful. And as you shared in the beginning, for all of us to kind of sit back and to listen to other people's stories and raise the voices of people of color is something that I'm really, really working on. So you sharing those tips and books that you did means a lot. So thank you, Pia.
Thanks, Jen. I appreciate it.
Where can people find you? Everywhere. Tell us everything.
So let's see, Twitter, Instagram, @MixedFatChick, on Facebook, Chronicles of a Mixed Fat Chick, and then website, simple, mixedfatchick.com. So you can absolutely find me on all of those outlets. I haven't been blogging as much as I did before. So, and I think that's just because guess what? I'm a busy mom.
You kind of literally have your hands full.
I do. So you can find me there, and there's always something new and exciting going on. So if you want to keep up with what I'm doing, then yeah, follow me there.
And we're out of time today, but I need to have you back on the show because you are one of the most fashionable people I have ever seen. You always look fabulous, and I know you have a ton of great fashion tips too. So we didn't mention that at all, but I want to make sure people know that and tap into some of your great resources too, because you always look fabulous. So we'll have to have you back on the show and share your tips and tricks. But I think one of your tips and tricks is to be you and just put yourself out there and feel good in the skin you're in.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you for that. And I would love to come back anytime.
Okay. Well, thank you, Pia. I will be sure to link to all of this great information that you have shared in the show notes. And I'm welcome to motherhood. And thanks.
Thank you.
Supporting us all, and forget about perfectionism.
All right. Thanks, Jen.
Bye.
Thank you.